This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along as we begin to talk about tourism in Pennsylvania in the fall and winter. We're joined by two gentlemen who represent two separate visitors bureaus in our area that cover pretty much our entire listening area. So we welcome today Otto Karishian, who is with the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau, and then representing the more western side of our listening area, the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, and Andrew Miller is their director. Thank you for joining us on the program, gentlemen. Let's start with a look at tourism as an industry locally. You know, how important is it?
It's still the number two industry in the Commonwealth, and in term number one being agriculture. And I think the interesting thing about our areas, both with Columbia, Montour County, and Snyder, Northumberland Union, is that people might not think that a lot of money is spent. However, it is usually always a surprising number when the state gives its annual economic impact report. The most recent study is from 2017, and visitor spending in my tri-county area was $399 million, which is quite a number. And if you look at it from in the last 10 years, that number has grown about $94 million. So it is a surprising number. And if you look at it this way, if that money was taken out of the economy, what negative impact would that have? And I think $399 million would have one heck of an impact if it wasn't in the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. To tie onto that, and even a little bit more specific regarding taxes, for Columbia Montour County alone, the local taxes that are raised with the travel and tourism industry is a little shy of $25 million. So I guess figure where they're going to make that windfall up of $25 million. As far as the spending for Columbia Montour from visitors in 2017, the number is about $266 million, which is about a 6.8% increase from 2016. So again, for an industry perspective, you know, a 6.8% jump is sweet. I mean, the economy, U.S. economy is not growing at that rate. So we're very fortunate here. So I think it means a great deal to our region, even though it's kind of under the table and no one really ever thinks about it or sees it, it is really important to everyone.
How long has it been there? I mean, it, like when we were kids, was that something that even was happening, or were people just not aware of it?
I think a lot of people weren't aware of it. I know when, you know, I mean, I left Pennsylvania and moved to the D.C. area and had no idea that there were visitors bureaus at all. And when I came back and ended up in the industry, one of the biggest surprises were how long visitors bureaus actually were, you know, were in effect and existed. And it turns out that they, each county had one, and they were in existence when I left way back in 1984. My visitors bureau, from the merger and everything, goes back at least 40 years. So I think people didn't realize at the time that tourism was an industry, and let alone that every county in the state had a visitors bureau to represent them.
Wow.
And I know, I believe we're entering our 54th year. We get started off as the Columbia Tourist Promotion Agency, and then we grew into the Columbia Montour Tourist Promotion Agency, which is now the Visitors Bureau. And like I mentioned, we're in our 54th year, and I agree with you, Andrew. I mean, people just didn't know. I think what the catalyst was and what really kind of put us, I still say we're not really in the public eye, but more in the public eye, is when the state legislation allowed for all counties throughout the Commonwealth to enact the county bed tax or hotel room revenue tax. And that was in 2002. Well, it began in 2002. I think the law actually passed in 2001. And that infused us with a nice percentage of money. I mean, we're still small destination marketing organizations in the scheme of things, but throughout the state, that really kind of ramped tourism up for the Commonwealth. I mean, in our heyday, when we were really getting, when the Commonwealth was really getting funded at the state side, right now it's pretty much non-existent. But at one point, we're talking $40 million a year, I guess, for the state on top of everything that the individual, the 49 individual destination marketing organizations would be doing from each county or region. We were the third most visited state in the nation.
Wow.
We were only behind we were only behind California and New York. And we were only behind California and Florida, excuse me. And New York was behind us.
Wow.
Now that we haven't funded since 2010, basically, so almost a decade now, I don't even know where we are. We're probably in the 30th.
Yeah,
so we're leaving a lot of money on the table because we just aren't marketing ourselves as a Commonwealth.
Yeah, I know back when I was growing up, you always heard the slogans, like, you got a friend in Pennsylvania and so forth. Is
right.
That's where that part of those campaigns that don't exist anymore?
Yeah, the unfortunate side of the Pennsylvania Tourism Office is that it can change by administration. So when you have a new administration come in, they can either be an advocate for it or they can change the tagline. I mean, it's interesting that to this day, people remember you've got a friend in Pennsylvania, and it really resonated. And there has been talk about whether or not to bring that back. However, you know, every administration has been a little bit different. No one's brought it back. The strongest thing that has been consistent is just the visitpa.com website.
Okay.
But let me quick jump in. When you saw the downturn in the state funding tourism because of other financial issues that they wanted to give the money priority to in order to advocate and fight for, the Visitors Bureau, the individual tourist promotion agency on a county or multiple county level, are the ones that really rallied because of the room tax that they were getting to really promote and support the state. And so what I feel confident about is what you have seen in the last decade is that the bureaus have really been very smart about their marketing dollars, been working, we have to say, on top of marketing technology, which is, you know, changes every minute while we're sitting here, and we have to be really savvy about it. I mean, we're beginning to look at ourselves as marketing agencies that specialize in tourism. So I think we've had to really fine-tune our craft, and I think we've been successful. That's where the numbers have grown over the last decade in visitor spending in our counties, because we picked up the slack that the state wasn't.
And we made a decided shift towards digital marketing, one, because it kind of helps level the playing fields a little bit between, let's say, a Philadelphia and Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau or Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, because those costs aren't as exorbitant as a print ad or television ad or things along that end.
Yeah, and let me add this. You know, when you're looking at a state level and what they would hang their hat on, you know, when you think of Pennsylvania, you know, when you would go to college or be at some other time, you're like, oh, are you from Pittsburgh or Philly? It was always about those two cities and never really about what was in between. And we know our product better than anybody else, especially, you know, in the small rural sections of Pennsylvania. And even though we kind of feel that maybe we might be the hole in the donut, we're very affordable, easily accessible destinations that don't cost an arm and a leg. And in fact, during the economic downturn in 2008, 2009, we actually saw a boost in businesses and our members did because we were an affordable destination. And I think that word of mouth has continued. So, you know, of course, I would love to have us to be the third most visited state in the country again. But the good news is that we rallied and promoted our smaller destinations because we know our product. And ideally, I'd like to think that we brought our areas to people's attention that might not have got it if they strictly relied on the state.
And I think this year when we saw the economic impact numbers, the one thing that really stood out for me, we've always been as a destination by region, and there are 11 regions within the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. We've always been number one in comparison to every other region in the Commonwealth for food and beverage as a percentage of the visitor spend. And
which is quite surprising.
Yeah, I think maybe part of it, and not to be negative, but I think maybe part of it is we don't necessarily have all the assets that some of the other regions, like we don't have the museums and the zoos and the things like that, but I think it's also a testament to our breweries, our wineries.
Yeah, breweries, wineries, agritourism, farmers markets,
right.
Yeah.
But the surprising part that this year really kicked in, out of those 11 regions, is we are now in the number four region as far as visitor spending as a percentage for recreation, which
yeah.
is really nice, because I know both Andrew and myself, we've concentrated on marketing our recreational assets, and I think it's proving that it's working, because now we're number four in the Commonwealth on that. And I think that is where, to a degree, our niche really is for both mm-hmm. visitors bureaus, because we are beautiful. We're
natural,
stunning. We've got natural resources that others just don't.
Let's look a bit at the fall season and what's coming up. We'll start in the western part of our listening area with Andrew, and kind of give me a look at what's coming. Some of the anything new, maybe, or just some of the events that have become tradition.
Yeah, I mean, falls are second busiest season, and you know, leaf peeping and peak season and all of that is always huge for our area. And I think that's once again, to talk about our outdoor assets, you know, we have something that is beautiful in the fall that just happens organically. People will come and they'll drive just to drive around and view all the assets. And what we're seeing is that the number of people that are coming in fall is increasing. So I don't think it'll ever be number one, but it is definitely being more competitive to summer. And, you know, we want to make sure that we stay on top of it. So, you know, not as bad as retail. However, we're not talking about Christmas, but as of September 1, our website and everything is all about the fall, you know, well in advance of the fall season being here. So once again, you're going to see an awful lot of festivals celebrating fall, a lot of arts and craft festivals, a lot of corn mazes at like Cole's Stony Hill Tree Farm and Arts Farm Market, you know, the Milton Harvest Festival, the Sealands Grove Market Festival, Oktoberfest in Mifflinburg. Lewisburg is resurrecting their fall festival and doing the prognostication for the woolly worm and what, you know, what the forecast is going to be for the winter. And we're seeing a lot more people that are just, you know, having events. The wineries are turning into their own destinations. You're seeing one of the things that we actually do is we've identified fall driving routes, both either by bicycle or by car. And when people come in and want to know where to drive to look at the beautiful leaves, we tell them, you know, what routes to take. Also, another big thing, if I don't have the dates confirmed, but I based upon last year, is Weiser State Forest does a drive-in. One day from 9 o'clock to 2 p.m., it is bumper to bumper, and it looks like it will be on Sunday, October 20th this year. But that is one of the great opportunities to drive through a state forest and just see the beautiful foliage. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of music festivals, harvest festivals, you know, Warrior Run Fort Friendland Heritage Day celebrates its history and American history, and it's just a big season for us.
You know, Facebook's always telling me where I should go that weekend. So
yeah,
this shows you how much it's out there.
Well, and that's actually a very good point, because how Facebook has changed just since last fall is that you'll get email notifications and you'll get a ton of notifications based upon the algorithms and what you're already looking at on things to do. And people now are way more aware of the local events that are near them more than ever. I'm getting invited to events I didn't even know that existed before simply because I'm on Facebook. I know that our section of Facebook for the Susquehanna River Valley Visitor Bureau has just blown up in terms of events. And the number of people that are looking at events and posting on events and events that we're co-hosting is through the roof. And so what we're seeing is a lot more traffic on Facebook for events and what's going on, because you can post them immediately. You can invite friends. It's an event social media happening.
And it's those experiences that literally, even though they may seem local to everyone else, those are the types of things that are really drawing visitors in, because they're looking for that local experience, especially with our collective brands of just that down home rural aspect that's just beautiful and have great people.
And of course, in your neck of the woods, the Bloomsburg Fair and the Covered Bridge Festival are two of the really big ones, but certainly a lot more going on, too.
Yeah, those are absolutely. I mean, we have the fair starting September 21st, and that will draw well over 500,000 people. And that's the one everyone knows about. Again, when I'm on the road, where are you from? You say Columbia, Montour County, they kind of look at you. Where? And then you can say Bloomsburg Fair, and people absolutely know where you are then. And then the week right after that, you roll into the Cover Bridge and Arts Festival at Knoebels that our Visitors Bureau puts on. We're seeing now upwards to about 150,000 people attend that four-day event now. Knoebels has really worked their magic with that particular event, too. It's a bridge that goes right into their entire hollow fun season at the park, and it has extended their season to the end of October, and I know they do really well with that. The same weekend of the Cover Bridge Festival, right up the road, so it does get to be a bit crowded, so I always recommend people, if you're leaving Saturday, to come to either Roarbucks and all their festivities taking place, which is right off of 487, or Knoebels, which is also right off of 487. Get there and do it early. Otherwise, the crowds will be heavy. But we're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so just plan accordingly. As far as the rest of the time, You know, Berwick runs their fall event the week after us. And as you said, Andrew, the Catawissa Historical Society will run their train, and you can pick up tickets at the CMVB's Welcome Center. And that's always a very fun event. Another one you mentioned was the Fort Freeland Warrior Days.
Yes.
And that's typically the same weekend as the Covered Bridge Festival. So if history is more your cup of tea, then definitely head out over there. We'll be finishing up the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau will be finishing up its Heritage Passport, which we ran all summer long, which will run till the end of October. And so you can hit any of the historical assets that are in that passport program and win prizes.
Okay. Well, one thing that I forgot to mention that actually is a new event or a newer event in the area in fall and actually takes quite advantage of our natural assets is that we've seen an increase in cycling tourism in the area. And that's everything from competitive to families to leisure to one of the biggest trends right now, which is gravel cycling. And we were approached back in 2014 from a group of event producers. And last year, it's called Unpaved of the Susquehanna River Valley. We're one of the title sponsors, and it has three different routes, 30, 60, 90, and 120 miles. It starts in Lewisburg, and it goes out through Union County and Center County and Snyder County, and it is competitive, though the 30-mile is more leisurely. However, the intention was to celebrate the natural assets and unpaved or gravel cycling that are found in the Susquehanna River Valley. And last year was the first one, and they sold out at about 500, and they wanted to increase the registration, and the number this year was 800. They have sold out registrations. There's a waiting list for it, and they bring competitive athletes from all over the U.S. And we have people coming from San Francisco and Alaska and Florida, and these are world-class athletes. And the very cool thing about it is we're introducing them to the Susquehanna River Valley, the beautiful natural assets of central Pennsylvania, and they have fallen in love with the area. And this year what we've done is we've taken an event that was on one day and have partnered with the community, and now it's a three-day event with the Fall Festival and activities and bicycle rodeos for their families, and it's turning into a great event.
Where are the people coming from? I mean, we hear about the amount of money. Is it coming from without to our area?
Well, I know that the market research that we do is the majority of people that are coming to the area are from Pennsylvania. It's a big state. And when you're looking at this whole concept of staycations that, you know, was back during the economic downturn, people still are traveling within 4 or 5 hours to come, you know, to areas that either they may have gone as a kid or maybe have visited when they went to one of the universities in the area and like to take people back. So, you know, you can be from Philadelphia or Pittsburgh and still within the 4 or 5 hour drive. But, you know, we definitely get people from Baltimore and Maryland and Washington, D.C. and New Jersey, upstate New York. In our market research, where we talk to the hotels directly and ask for their feeder markets, we see a lot of the Rochester area and also a lot of the Toronto area. What we ended up doing for the last 2 years is have actually done targeted marketing, both digital on their kind of Times Square digital board in Toronto and also in their subway system of marketing the wineries in our area to Toronto audiences. And I think, without a doubt, what you see more at red lights when you're stopping are more and more out-of-state plates than ever before. Well, I think what's happening is, you know, you have the snowbirds that, you know, travel south in the winter. And from what I've been gathering, people that I'm talking to, they used to go to Florida. Now they're going down to North and South Carolina. And I think what's happened over the years is that you see our section of Pennsylvania is a nice place to rest or stop off or overnight before they finish the rest of the trek. And I think through that exposure, they're falling in love with the area, becoming familiar with it and staying.
And we're kind of the same, but it's almost the exact same story. They're situated more on a north-south route, and we're more situated on an east-west route. So again, we have the normal markets of the Philly, Lehigh Valley, and then that whole Jersey and southern tier New York markets, similar to you. But where we've seen that exact, and I mean exact same story, was coming from the Cleveland area, from the Ohio area. We met with our lodging partners. All our data was telling us we were researching people that were visiting our destination, and nowhere did it say people were coming from Cleveland. Not until we had face-to-face with our lodging partners and had conversations with them where they're saying, no, we're seeing people from Cleveland. It finally dawned on us that Right. We weren't a destination. We were a stopping point.
Yeah.
And so we, about 3 years ago, we started a pretty aggressive campaign in the Cleveland market. And that campaign started off as like, make sure you choose us as your resting place when you're on Route 80. In subsequent years, we've kind of turned that to, okay, now you know about us and you know everything that's going on. Why don't you leave your destination a day early and spend an extra day or two at our place? And right now, analytically, you know, Cleveland is definitely one of our top markets now that are visiting us online.
Aside from finding invitations on social media, what's the best way to learn more about what's going on in the area?
We're located on the corner of the Country Covered Campus in Lewisburg, though we have about 300 distribution points throughout the Tri-County area. So if you're in a high traffic area, whether it is one of our members like Knobles or somebody, I'd say look for the brochure racks. But the best way to get information is to go to our website, which is visitcentralpa.org. From there, you can go under our calendar events. You can sign up to get our calendar events emailed to you every Wednesday or Thursday with all the fun events coming up in the next 2 weeks. For instance, today I brought the events from September, October, November, just a portion of them that are on our website, and I have 6 pages that equal 30 events in the next 3 months, and we usually have about 200 events going on every month. And then visit us on Facebook and follow us on Facebook and go to our events section and start following us there, and you'll start getting the invitations to all the events going on.
Pretty much ditto. It's not rocket science. They're doing exactly what they should be doing, and hopefully we are as well. Our website is www.itourcolumbiamontour.com. You can sign up on our website for the calendar events, which gets published every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock.
And you're physically right off of the Light Street exit?
We are right at the Bloomsburg Light Street exit on Route 80. Yeah, we have a welcome center there. Hopefully, when I'm back in the spring, I'll have some exciting news in regards to the welcome center and some things that are looking more and more like they're going to happen.
Great.
At that particular interchange that we're excited about. Okay. Regarding our covered bridges.
We will have you back in the spring, and we'll see what's next.
There'll be more.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.